When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Morning. Welcome into the program. Happy Wednesday to you. The final day of July. That one flew by, huh? Before you know it, it'll be August. You know, like within the next. Well, that's a lot of work for me to do. 18 hours. So the summer is flying by, kids. As you know, like any kids are up at this hour. Well, maybe one kid, an enterprising kid that I'll have a story for you about later on today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But that was always the time of the year that, you know, the turning of the calendar that your heart sunk a little bit because it meant it was the last month of summer vacation. And then you think to yourself, well, but it's a whole month. We won't be back until the first couple of days of September. So we've still got the whole month, but the month flies by. You know, 4th of July, Independence Day, around that time, you feel like you've got the whole summer ahead of you. And then you blink and it's August and you say, well, that was fun while it lasted. But pack as much as you can in the next month, kids. And for you adults that don't have to go back to school, well, you know that once you don't go back to school anymore, summer does continue. Until the equinox. So plenty of time to do some fun things, including today. If you are into tall ships, if that's something that you are into, get yourself over to the water today. I don't know how close it'll be to the shore as it comes along the south coast. But there will be, it'll certainly, you'll get a great view of it if you head down to the Cape Cod Canal. I just haven't checked to see just yet whereabouts it is. Give me a moment. I'll check it. And in case you haven't figured it out by now, I'm trying really hard to avoid having to say the name of the ship because I don't know how to pronounce it correctly. I'm going to say it as the Kalmarnikel. Kalmarnikel? Maybe Nikel because it's an NY. The Kalmarnikel. I suppose I could have watched some YouTube videos and gotten the proper pronunciation, but this is a Swedish ship. It's a replica of the ship that brought people from Sweden to the New World to start the colony of New Sweden, which encompassed some of the area that I was in this past weekend. Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. New Sweden was in that area, and this ship, well, the ship that was the original version of it, made a few trips back and forth, bringing Swedish settlers to the New World, then was sold to the Dutch and ended up becoming part of the Anglo-Dutch War and was sunk. So this is a replica that was built in 1997, and it is the official tall ship of the state of Delaware. And it goes on a tour every year where it goes to different ports and people can come and experience it, but it hasn't been in Provincetown since before COVID. This is the first time in 5 years it's returning to Provincetown. And before it makes it to McMillan Pier in Provincetown, it's going to pass through the Cape Cod Canal today. So if you want to see this thing come through the canal, you can head down there. And if you are not someone who has gone down to the canal and watched ships come through, there's a couple of different areas where you can watch from. A couple of different high vantage points where they have scenic overlooks where you can park the car and watch. And even if you can't get to one of those overlooks because, you know, maybe they're full, you can still go and like park at the base of the train bridge. There's a big parking lot there, and you can just walk over to the canal and see it come through. I'm looking right now to see where it is on the live map at marinetraffic.com. Right now, it's closing in on the canal. It's passing by the Point Marion. It's between Marion and Pocasset, and it is headed toward the canal. I'm trying to see if it'll give us an ETA here of what time they think it'll pass through. Well, I'm not signing up for the paid service, but I would say like within the next hour or two. So if you can hop in the car now and head to the canal, and I don't know that it's moving right now. It might be dock, anchored. But it's a pretty impressive ship. You can see photos of it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And then when it gets to Provincetown, you can actually go out and sail on it. So they do 2.5-hour day sails. They have a morning session or like, an earlier in the day. Yeah, I think it's morning. I think it leaves at like 11 a.m. And then they have one that leaves in the afternoon. And it's limited to 40 people, I think, or 36 people per run. It's $75 for an adult to go. But I mean, when are you going to get the experience to sail on a tall ship? So we have links in the story to be able to track it. We have links in the story to be able to book a voyage if you would like to do that. And this is something that when they finish dredging New Bedford Harbor and when the new bridge comes in and all of that, maybe we'll see some of this kind of activity come into New Bedford. I mean, even with this new bridge that's being proposed, I don't know how tall this ship is. But we're talking about having a 200-foot plus clearance. And that could be a game changer. Because I don't think this thing needs to be deep, but it's obviously very tall. So again, you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But it's pretty cool to see something like that come through. I mean, I lived close to the canal for years. There was a brief period of time where we lived not quite on the canal, but right before the entrance to it. And this particular home, which we rented, had an all-glass first floor, so you could look out and see all the ships sailing. It was on a cliff overlooking the ocean. And I had a radio, so you could tune in and hear who was coming through, and you would see cruise ships come in. You would see, like, the party boats out there on the water at night. It was very cool, very interesting. And sometimes you'll just be driving along the canal and you'll look over and say, well, what is this? Because they do have very large ships, barges and cruise ships that go through. There was a couple years ago, I was on the Cape at night during the week for some reason. And I was on the Cape side driving down along the canal, heading from Sandwich back toward Bourne. And I saw at the overpass, the overlook, there were a bunch of cars pulled over. And I was like, well, something must be going on. So I kind of just pulled in to see what was going on because, you know, kind of a reporter instinct. You look and you see what's going on, even if it's not something you're going to report on, but it might be. And so I pulled over and I was like, what's going on? And somebody said, oh, there's a big, large cruise ship about to come through, the biggest one that's come through in years. I said, oh, I'm not in any hurry. I'll wait. And this thing came through and it was so big and so wide that you felt like you could almost reach out and like grab something from somebody on it, from this overpass. And we were like yelling stuff to people on the deck. And it was just a cool experience to be able to see that. I took some video and put it up on social media, but I don't remember when it was to be able to pull it back up. But it was a really neat thing to see. That's why I tell anybody, if you're a camper, if you like to camp, and you haven't camped at the Bourne Scenic Park, you want to book yourself at least a weekend over there. Because even if you get one of the interior campsites that aren't right on the canal, because those ones that are on the canal, they go pretty quickly at the beginning of the season. But it's a cool thing to wake up in the morning, wake up around this time, make your cup of coffee, and then just make the brief walk from your tent or your camper over to the canal and see the activity that happens. So anyway, that's something to check out if you are interested. There's a lot that we can talk about today, 508-996-0500. But one of the big stories of yesterday was an announcement that came through. It came through in the morning, and I didn't read it to you in the morning. When I should have, we were just involved in some other conversations. But the story is up at the website and on the app. If you remember, when the MBTA took land around the Whale's Tooth parking lot by eminent domain, I remember talking about this with Mayor Mitchell when he used to come on when I was on from 9 to noon. And he mentioned this was something that they were working on kind of off the air one day. You know, he was just kind of like, hey, heads up, this is something that's going on. You know, when we're ready to talk more about it, we'll let you know. But this is something to keep an eye on because he was upset. I think he was upset that day because he had had communication before he came in. But they were talking about the land taking, as they refer to it as, which is a totally legal process, but as part of it, I mean, the city does it as well. The city has taken land by eminent domain to, you know, expand sidewalks and things of those, or install sidewalks, things of those nature. But when you do it, you have to pay a fair market value for the property that you are taking. And in the case of the land that was taken around the Whale's Tooth parking lot, Mayor Mitchell and others felt that it wasn't fair market value that they're being given in compensation. And indeed, the agreement reached between the MBTA and the city proves that, in this case, the mayor was right. So what was originally a payment of under $500,000... The original payment was $486,627 for 8 acres of land next to where the train station was put up. The city filed a draft lawsuit. They were ready to file suit. They never did, but they were ready to file suit to seek fair compensation. And they reached a settlement agreement of $3.5 million. So basically, this process of just challenging this and drafting this lawsuit was a net gain of $3 million So it was worth it to me, and certainly to Mayor Mitchell, to fight for that $3 million. The same way the MBTA was just going to build an $8 million pedestrian bridge, but Mayor Mitchell said, well, nah, that's not good enough. And as a result, you have what's a really good-looking $21 million bridge instead. And for those of you who are going to comment, because I saw it when we wrote the article about the bridge's progress, you know, it doesn't matter if it's $8 million or $21 million, you're still paying for it. Right. Of course it's coming out of taxpayer money. But wouldn't you rather see something that looks good and is worth having when they build things that look good and are worth having with your tax dollars in other communities? Do you think if they were to build an $8 million pedestrian bridge in Brookline for the MBTA, that people there wouldn't have fought to have something better looking and would have won that fight? And that's your tax dollars going to their community. That's the thing about South Coast Rail. You've been paying for rail service already all over the Commonwealth that you've never used. This is now the chance for you to get the same offering that other people have. And this was, you know, as we're talking about equity theft, and people complained, made phone calls, complained about how, well, the city is stealing money out of people's pockets by selling off these property tax debts to these predatory companies who then come in and turn the house at a profit and pocket the profit. They're not giving people fair market value for what it's worth. Well, the same thing happened to the city with land that it owned in this eminent domain taking. So the mayor stood up to it and the city was rewarded with $3 million for it. But the rhetoric is interesting because Bill Strauss, who is the chair of the Joint Committee on Transportation, and who is one of the lawmakers who cautioned Mayor Mitchell about the draft lawsuit when it was first reported last year, because they were afraid that this would turn into a legal holdup for South Coast Rail. Well, as it turns out, doesn't matter. South Coast Rail held itself up, didn't need legal wranglings to tie things up. So the process of getting that land ready cost the city money. And so the city was looking to get almost $10 million. That was what they were actually asking for. Not only for the value of the land, but for the work that was put into the land to get it ready. They also wanted to maintain control of the land. I don't know how much, and Mayor Mitchell can talk about this if he comes on with Chris today, about how much they really thought they would win that argument of maintaining the operations of the land, or what, you know, maintaining control of the Whale's Tooth area. It might have just been one of those, let's put it in and see what happens. But I think the valuation was what really mattered. And in terms of that, they won. And I guess if you're the Commonwealth, you can look at it and say, well, they wanted $10 million and we gave them $3.5 million, so we won. It's one of those situations where it probably worked out better for everybody, but everybody's going to try to say that they were the winner. And certainly in Chairman Strauss's comments, you got a lot of that. You know, he even said in a Facebook post, not in his official statement, but it was on his official campaign, you know, his official state rep page. So, while I have no doubt that the city will try and polish up this outcome a bit, the win here is for public transportation. And thanks goes directly to Maura Healey, et cetera, et cetera. But he even said right there, the city is going to try to polish this up a bit. Well, It's easy to polish a $3 million check. Or a check that's $3 million more than the original one you were getting. So, yeah, polish away. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. Right now, I'm going to take a break, and we will be back in a few moments. And tomorrow, you're going to be able to start the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament off the right way with a special broadcast of South Coast Now, kicking off the big event. Chris will be broadcasting live from the Museum of Modern Heritage tomorrow, August 1st, with a full slate of special guests to get you ready for the feast and to learn about Madeira history. The feast is about more than just food, fun, and Madeira wine. Chris will bring you the true history of Madeira and why the feast is such an important part of New Bedford and all the good the feast committee does in the community with the money it brings in. So tune in tomorrow, 9 a.m., as Chris McCarthy broadcasts live with South Coast Now from the Museum of Madeira Heritage in New Bedford to kick off the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day with Phil Devitt.
Harris says she's ready to debate Trump. Will he agree? Progress on a massive wildfire in California. And young people have mixed feelings about unions.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris is daring Donald Trump to debate her.
Because as the saying goes, if you've got something to say, say it to my face.
The Democratic presidential candidate spoke at a campaign rally Tuesday in front of about 10,000 supporters in Atlanta. Trump was set to debate Joe Biden September 10th on ABC News before the president dropped out of the race. The Republican candidate telling Fox News Monday he wanted to debate Harris but could make a case for not doing it. Vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance on the campaign trail for the Republican Trump Vance ticket. He held rallies in Reno, Nevada yesterday, taking aim at Harris.
Rated as the most liberal senator in the entire United States during her tenure. That is not a reasonable moderate. That is a crazy record. She is dangerously liberal, and she will never be the president of the United States because we're not going to let her.
Vance has also been discussing the early ups and downs of his rollout for the job. In an interview with NBC News, Vance said he doesn't think he's disappointed Trump since he was selected as his VP pick. Vance has received countless criticism from allies of Harris regarding comments he made about the value of women in society who don't have children back in 2021. Vance said he aims to be a good public servant when asked about specific policy areas, adding he'd give influence over border policy and do the, quote, exact opposite of Harris. Hamas political leader Ismail Haniyeh has been killed. Iranian state media Press TV reported that Haniyeh was killed Wednesday, today, alongside his bodyguard, in what Hamas called a Zionist raid on his home in Tehran. The group went on to claim Israel killed Haniyeh, who led the Hamas political operations from exile in Qatar. Progress slowly coming on one of California's largest wildfires. The Park Fire is 14% contained after scorching more than 386,000 acres since last Wednesday. That's bigger than Los Angeles and about 12 times the size of San Francisco. Boar's Head is expanding its recall of deli meats linked to a listeria outbreak to include another 3,500 tons of poultry products and ready-to-eat meat. That's in addition to 103 tons recalled last week. At least 34 people have gotten sick in 13 states, including two deaths. Signs of a listeria infection include fever, headache, nausea, and muscle aches. The recall includes 71 products that were made between May 10th and July 29th, with sell-by dates ranging from the 29th to October 17th. And younger workers are far more likely to support unions, but they're also uncertain about them. Tammy Trujillo reports.
A new report is out from UC San Diego's School of Global Policy and Strategy. It's published by the Economics Policy Institute. It identifies three major shifts among U.S. workers. There's a recent marked decline in opposition to labor unions. There's a rise of workers who are interested in but unsure about unions. And there's an emerging generation gap in attitudes toward unionization. However, the authors say while unions are more active and interest is rising, membership in unions continues its 45-year decline. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Well, Red Sox lost to the Mariners last night, 10-6. Another game with Seattle at Fenway this afternoon. First pitch at 4:10. And U.S. men's basketball on the court today, facing off against Sudan in the Paris Olympics.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Starting out this Wednesday with cloudy skies, temperature in the mid-70s, plenty of humidity out there as well. That chance for showers will continue, threat for a thunderstorm or two into the afternoon with a slight chance for showers once again. Temperatures topping out in the upper 70s, dipping into the low 70s with some fog overnight. Tomorrow into Friday, the sun returns with temperatures in the low 80s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Everybody remembers the Eddie and the Cruisers songs, but not everybody remembers that John Cafferty taught us how to spell city back in the 80s. So, John Cafferty, Beaver Brown, featuring New Bedford's own, Michael Tunes and Tunes. The only member of the band to be in the movie. So, I love Eddie and the Cruisers, man. Growing up as a kid, it was always on HBO. And if it wasn't on HBO, you caught it quite a bit on Dialing for Dollars on Channel 6. So, you couldn't escape that movie in the 80s.
Couldn't escape that movie, and Cafferty's still going strong. He sounds great. I got to see him a couple months ago at the Narrow Center in Fall River. Incredible.
I mean, to be able to put on a show like they put on and still be doing it at that age is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tunes, Michael. He's incredible still, and I think he's in his 80s.
Wow.
And he's up there wailing away on the saxophone like he's a guy, you know, half his age.
I haven't seen them in forever. The last time I saw them, I think, was when they opened for the Beach Boys on a 4th of July concert at Otis Air Force Base. That's what we're talking, 1991.
Mm.
So it's been a while since I've seen them.
They're rejuvenated now because they have a song in the new Peter Farrelly movie on Netflix, Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a song there, and I think they're putting together a new album with a momentum from that. So
good.
More on the way.
Yeah, and for those of you who are Eddie and the Cruisers fans, there's also the sequel, Eddie Lives, but people don't like that as much. I watched it. It's just too Canadian for me, but the music is pretty decent in it. But it was a fascinating story. As a kid, I thought that Eddie Wilson was a real person. Like, because that movie does such a good job. I thought it was, like, a real story. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, if you are a fan of 80s kind of, I don't want to call it a cheese film. It's more like a comfort film.
Sure.
Kind of like a movie, like, oh, remember when they used to make movies like this? You'll enjoy that film. George Allen, Dialing for Dollars, though. That's where I saw a lot of these movies. That or, you know, because HBO back then didn't have a huge library, so they'd show the same things over and over again.
Right. Yeah, blast from the past.
Absolutely. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Cormier, is he still the executive producer with Howie Kaye? I haven't heard him in a long time.
Yeah, I guess they had a little schedule change around for the summer, and he's been filling in on Grace's show.
Oh, really? Oh, good for him. I just wanted to know how he was doing, Taylor.
Yeah, he's doing great. I talked to him recently. He likes doing this because it's summertime, so he gets home earlier.
Yeah, I had heard a news story, too, on another radio station. I wonder if you can confirm it. Our Eversource is going to go up on their electric rates. Can you confirm that?
I don't even need to look it up, and I'm going to tell you that's probably true because don't they always go up on their rates? But yes, I'll look and see what I can find on that.
Well, you know something, it's going to go up in Massachusetts, but not in Rhode Island. Rhode Island's eating our lunch, you know, and their taxes are lower. Their political, they're in their state house. It's more balanced over here. We're just being overrun by Democrats that we just want to keep tax and spend. But, you know, that's another thing I wanted to verify, too. Yeah, we can't take it anymore with electric bills.
Well,
not at the rates we're getting, because I heard, Tim, that Maury Healey rejected getting cheaper electric from Canada from the power plant there in Niagara Falls for this. And we know what's happening with the blunders with these wind turbines and blades coming off. It's really pathetic, you know.
Well, I mean, there's going to be growing pains with any industry, so
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, let me just say the environmental impact is it's taking a toll. I mean, this is only one, and if we get any more of these disasters, it's going to be really bad.
All right, thank you for the call.
All right, Tim.
Have a good day. And I mean, hey, listen, when something like this happens, you figure out what caused it. You fix it, you move on, you hope it doesn't happen again. I mean, how many cars, when they first started putting automobiles on the road, how many cars crashed? They didn't stop making cars. They didn't say, well, forget it. This isn't a safe way to go on for the future because one of these things might kill somebody. When we first started, you know, utilizing, I won't even say airplanes, just whatever devices we were using to get up in the air. Sometimes they crashed. Sometimes people died. Nobody said, you know what? I don't think that we should try to fly. I mean, there are things that happen as you try to make progress. And lessons that will be learned and adjustments that will be made. It doesn't mean that you abandon the concept because there's one particular issue. So everybody that's, nobody's calling in that was ever for wind and says, I changed my mind. It's always the people who have been anti-wind from the very beginning who make a bigger deal out of these things and need to be made, who make connections where they haven't been proven. People who a year ago would have said, we should go back to whaling. That's what made New Bedford great. Go kill the whales. But now the whales are dying because, you know, there might be the wind turbines that's causing it. It's not. But now all of a sudden they'd all turn into the world's biggest whale conservationists. Oh, we got to save the whales. You know what? If it was the fishing boats that were out there running over the whales and killing them, you wouldn't be crying about it. You'd say, well, that's New Bedford's biggest economy and fishing has been around forever. We can't get rid of fishing. Guess the whales just have to learn to move out of the way. But because the thing that you don't like, you can use the tentative connection that hasn't been proven yet to make your argument, you make your argument. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
You are so funny. I'm telling you.
I'm just trying to rile people up.
Yeah, no, I'm laughing. I love your humor. So I have something to tell you. I don't know if you brought it up yesterday because I was listening, but the first hour I was kind of busy. Ollie's is a Building 19, and they're opening up today, and it's 9 to 9 p.m., their hours. I guess Country 99 is going to be there. I went over, and I said...
Don't promote another radio station on this radio station. You know better than that, Sketty.
No, I'm not promoting it. What I was going to say is I wanted to know if 107 knew about this so they can get over there.
I don't know. Go call 107. Don't ask me.
Oh, well, you're right there.
I can tell you that a couple of the city councilors will be over there giving them a citation. Councilor Chiquette and Councilor Aber will be over there giving them a citation today.
Oh, really? For what?
For welcoming them into the community.
Oh, a citation like that.
Not a citation, not like a ticket. No.
All right, great. Well, and here's the thing.
They're writing them up because the stuff is too cheap. They're saying, no, you can't charge us with all the prices.
Well, this is the first time because it's not like that in Plymouth. So it says Ollie's, and right underneath it, it's got the little building 19.
Right. So what that is they started doing that when they opened up in the former building 19 locations. And I think, if I'm correct, this is the first time they've done that at a place that isn't actually in the former building.
Right. So that really caught me off guard. And I said, I got to take a picture of this. I got to send it to Tim. And then I'm like, no, I'll just call him and tell him. Because everybody was yelling, oh, no, building 19. But it's so much different than building 19. But here's the mind blower, at least for me it was. So it's as small as the one in Plymouth. Maybe a little bit less in width, but, you know, it's long and length. So the whole building, the whole other half of Shaw's is not being used. And I asked them what is going in.
No, it is going to be reused. It's going to be a Restaurant Depot.
Okay. So the whole thing, wow, that's going to be a huge restaurant.
No, Restaurant Depot. So it's a place where restaurants can go to buy the things that they need. And you'll be able to go in, too. You'll be able to get restaurant-quality stuff.
You were talking about that a few weeks back.
Yep. So people go all the way up to, I think Avon is the nearest one. So I know at least the people that I know that go, they go to the Avon one. So they really like this because it's going to be a lot closer to them to be able to go and get the stuff that they need. Because it's a lot of times it's cheaper than it's kind of like an Ollie's for restaurants.
Right. Okay. Wow. Okay. It's going to be really big. That's kind of exciting. Not that I need a whole lot, you know, living by myself.
But. No, but it's really big for the restaurants around here because they can save some money instead of having to get everything through their distributors. And then they can pass those savings on to you.
I think that is wicked awesome. And then she told me that also a laundromat will be going in there.
Yeah. They've got a lot going on.
That's exciting.
Caliente's going in over there. They're going to have all kinds of activity happening.
Caliente. I remember calling in about that.
See, when the train comes, business comes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I guess the business beat the train, but anyway. All right. Well, I'm going to hold you there because I got another call.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. You have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
And let's go to this call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. So recently I've heard a few times of big panes of glass falling out of windows in the city.
Yeah.
You know, and that could have been very hazardous. I mean, it didn't apparently land on people, but it was a close call. And obviously they're not going to just stop making high-rise buildings in the cities. But I do think it's a huge difference with the ocean. And then you just had written that article about Atlas Tac. When they find out something is seeping into the soil and destroying, you know, the area, there's nobody cleaning it up. 30, 40, how many years has that been sitting there vacant and the whole surrounding neighborhoods and a bike path going right by it? And then they're kicking it back and forth. Whose job is it to clean this mess?
Look at how long they did it for, you know, they ignored it happening in industry, various different industries for years. People knew that it was happening, but they said, oh, well, this is kind of the cost of doing business. Thankfully, we learned those lessons.
Right, but they still do it in the pharmaceutical industry. They absolutely do it in the automotive industry. They're like, there's a certain amount of inherent hazard built in, and they're like, we'll just pay the lawsuits later.
Right,
that's
basically
the way it rolls.
I don't want you to think I'm in any way saying, like, oh, it's okay if some turbine blades fall off and you know, stuff falls into the earth. No, it's not okay at all, but it doesn't mean that you stop the industry just because, you know, there was this one issue. You find them, you have them fix the problem, and you move on.
Right, but what I feel is they were out ahead of themselves. They got out ahead of themselves because a lot of the questions that people have, there are no answers. Mainly, you know, is it really going to bring the cost down for anybody? There's definitely no definitive answers on what it's going to do environmentally. You know, and all the dead whales, they're saying, well, you know, they're really getting hit by the boats. Really? Why are they off course? Why are they all of a sudden slam-banging themselves, you know, onto shore or into boats? Something is rerouting them. And it could be, you know, so I just feel like maybe you don't stop it. I mean, if it were my choice, I'd the heck stop it altogether, never have started it. I think the people pay what they do to live in Massachusetts. A big draw is the oceans, you know, not just the industry, but the recreation of it. But I feel like if they're going to move forward, they need to halt and get a handle on what's going on. There'll always be little problems, but let's look at the big picture. You don't just, because we're still in the same situation. If there's a problem, whose problem is it to fix it up? Those things should be settled before they move forward, is what I believe.
And I think what's also concerning to people, too, is that they weren't really quick to come up with the answers on this issue either. You know, they kind of tried to downplay it a little bit at first, and that has people concerned.
Right, and what kind of issues are there? And they say, well, boats are made out of fiberglass. They crack into things and pieces of, you know. But the size and the, you know, just the movement of the ocean, that stuff moves around. They're saying it's not hazardous. Well, when you get some fiberglass in your eyes, you know, it's not great. It's not great in your skin. But I just feel like there should be, because, you know, we don't need them all sitting there for 30, 40 years until somebody figures it out. I feel like before you build an addition, a deck, anything in your own property, in your own yard, you go through all kinds of permitting. To me, this is such a huge issue, and I don't feel like they're not providing the answers, because I don't think anybody has the answers. So I feel like we should get a few answers before they keep moving on. I like the ocean.
I think we all do. I think that's one thing we can all agree on. I don't like to swim in it, but I like it.
I love to swim in it. I love to look at it. To me, it soothes your soul just to be around the ocean. And so to destroy the aesthetic of it, and then the industry, just all of it, I'm like, back it up. Because we don't know who's making the money, but it certainly isn't bringing the price of energy down to individual families. Absolutely not. I mean, at least for, I don't know, what everybody else is dealing with.
Well, certainly not now anyway. It wouldn't now anyway. It's too early in the process. It's going to be a long time before you start to see that change.
But that's the thing. Will it ever change? You go around to people that have had this for a lot longer, you're not seeing a significant reduction in cost. You know, people are making money, and they will make their money and walk away regardless if it moves forward. But I'm saying if the people that have to deal with the aftermath are not benefiting, I don't see why this was agreed to. But we'll see what happens.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. You too, Tim.
And I got to take a quick break. I got a caller on hold, but we'll be back in just a few moments. You can dance if you want to. Well, you can leave your friends behind, too. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Well, I looked at the windmill situation. Yeah, and it's not a good thing. But beats the hell out of an oil spill. I mean, we're still cleaning up after the Exxon Valdez. And we're still cleaning up in the Gulf of Mexico. And don't forget, they tried to drill for oil out in Georges Bank, which had the largest sustainable issue of protein on the planet. And we had to fight them on that. They don't care. You know, they get their subsidies from the government, and they make money, all in the name of oil. So this is a question that, you know, the investigation regarding this windmill situation has to be thoroughly investigated. The binding agent to put the windmills together, there was a problem there. Why did it happen? Who controlled that? Who controls the binding agent? The oil company owned that company, and we've got to look to see if there's sabotage involved in here. So, you know, when people start talking about how bad wind is, I think it's just weird. You know, they don't get it. You know, the planet is warming, and that's a fact. You can see by all the fires in California, and that's not why people left California, right? They left because it was bad governance, you know. They distort these things, and it's really sick. It's really weird, you know, that their adoration to someone who is basically demonic is the leader of their party. You know, you listen to some of his commentary now today on Jewish people. You know, it's like, come on. You know, Harris's husband is Jewish. You know, and it's just the distortion just continues. They amplify the distortion, then they try to call it the truth. I would be surprised if candidate Trump turns around and gets rid of his vice presidential candidate, because he's a blessing for the Democratic Party. He alienates everybody with his commentary. And it's pretty sad, you know, that people acquiesce to this type of candidate. And he's too old. You know, he's going to be, what, 81 or something? And by the time he's done, he's going to be 85. Can you imagine if something happened to him and he unfortunately passed away in office? We'd get the vice presidential candidate running the country. That's nuts to me. But that's my commentary for today.
All right. Thank you for the call, Tom. Great to hear from you.
Yep, sure. Yep, bye.
And callers, I will hold you there. I only have about 45 seconds left. So if you want to hold on, we will take you as soon as we come back at the beginning of the next hour. And if you can't hold on, I understand. But I want to make sure that I give everybody a fair amount of time and don't try to cut anybody off. So we can continue on this discussion at the top of the next hour. And we've got room for you. I've got two lines open at 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And by the way, there was a little issue over the last couple of days with being able to use the app to call in directly to the studio. I was able to fix that Monday. I was able to fix that when I got back. So we had just had some upgrades done to our phone system, and I guess those numbers kind of got wiped out from where they needed to go to feed it to the app. So that has now been fixed, and you can once again...
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.